Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 12. Verse 12. Let's look at that. Let's read it first. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 12. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. We're going to look at the first part of this verse. And if you have a marginal reading, let's read it as it is written in the margin. The words of a wise man's mouth, grace. The words of a wise man's mouth, grace. The word "are" is in italics, so it is implied. It's not in the original, it's implied. And the word "gracious" in the Hebrew is actually grace. The words of a wise man, grace. And we're going to, God assisting, we will look at this verse in two lights. In two lights. First, as it applies to those whom God has made wise by His matchless grace, preachers and all of God's elect. The words of a wise man's mouth speak grace. Whether it's the preacher or whether it's one who is redeemed and made wise by God's grace, that we're going to look at it that way, first of all, and then lastly, secondly, as it finds its ultimate fulfillment in the person of Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God and is our wisdom indeed. But let's look at it first. Those called out by God's marvelous grace, they are wise. They're made so by the free and sovereign grace of Christ, by His merit and His worth and His works. So these, as it speaks of here, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. Those who are called out by God's grace will most certainly speak with their mouths of the things of grace or graciousness. Graciousness. Now we know in the surface of this verse, the surface interpretation, or the common interpretation of this verse in Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 12, the common interpretation is, and the obvious interpretation is, God, those whom the Lord deals with, if He's been gracious to us, we will be gracious. Paul speaks of this throughout his writings and his letters in the New Testament, that let not evil communications proceed out of your mouth, and so on and so forth. And if God has touched our heart, He touches our mouth also. And so, as I said, we're going to look at this verse in two different lights. The first, as those whom He has called by His grace, who are made wise, maybe not wise in the ways of the world, maybe not wise in the ways of men, but have been made wise by God's superabounding grace. And they will speak with their tongues, with their lips, with their mouths. They will speak of things of the grace of God. So again, reading the first part of Ecclesiastes 10, verse 12, the words of a wise man, the words of one of God's elect, their mouth, the words from their mouth are gracious. And as I said, in the Hebrew, that word is grace. They speak grace. So I ask you this question as I was looking this over. How can you tell if a person, a preacher, a Bible class instructor is wise, or if they are just a babbling fool? How can you tell? Well, does that person, do those people, do we speak grace, or do we speak about works? I'm just taking a straight line on this passage. I'm taking, you know, the quickest line, the straightest line. When we are asked, or when we proclaim the glory of God, we're going to speak of three things. Those whom God has called out by His grace. We're going to speak words of grace, words of graciousness. We're going to speak, firstly, the grace of God the Father. When someone asks us, and we're talking about when someone speaks to us, when someone asks us of the hope that lies within, where do you go worship? What do you worship? Who do you worship? Why do you worship? All these different things. We're going to speak because this passage here, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. They speak of grace. We're going to speak of the grace of God the Father. We're going to speak about how He chose a people before the time began. That's grace. That has nothing to do with works. That has nothing to do with our ability. That has nothing to do with our decisions. It has everything to do with the grace of God. Grace of God in the Father, the first person in the Trinity. We speak of the Father in choosing a people. We speak of the grace of God in the Father in the choosing a sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, one and only one, to redeem a people. We speak of the grace of God the Father in deriving the perfect covenant whereby we can find and know hope and peace and love in this covenant God, in this covenant of grace. A wise man, I refer again back to our text, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. They speak of grace and gracious things. There's no smell or stink of man-centered doctrine, man-centered religion, man-centered worth. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. We speak of the grace of God the Father in setting in motion the decree and purpose in which He, God the Father, will be just and justify His people. So when we speak gracious things or speak of grace, we must and we do speak of the grace of God the Father. Secondly, we speak of grace, the grace of God the Son, in accepting the Father's vision and decree of becoming His people's surety. That's grace. We had nothing to do with that. God the Father chose, God the Son accepted fully to be responsible in our room, in our place, and in our stead. And where's man at? He's not in about there. This is a covenant that was thought about, if I can use these terms, and decreed and fulfilled before the world was ever created. We speak of the grace of God the Son in coming to live and die as our representative and mediator of that blessed covenant. We speak of the grace of God in the Son by assuming our nature, being one with us, yet never leaving the Godhead or compromising God's justice. No, I was listening to I listened to quite a few CDs. I listened to Donnie Bell and Maurice and Don Porter. So I don't know who said it, but what they mentioned was there's no way that this book, this holy book of grace, could have been thought up by man, because man would have tried in here somewhere. He would have tried to get the glory or put himself in there and elevated, exalted himself. No one but a thrice holy God, a God of grace, could have came up with such an uncompromising method and means and way of salvation other than through an innocent sacrifice and substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we see this book and it says the words of a wise man's mouth, those who have been made wise, who have been called by God's grace, made wise, because we're born foolish, we're born unwise in the ways of God's mercy and grace and covenant. But the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, made wise because of what the Father has done, the Son has done, and the Spirit has done for us. And we speak of the grace of God the Father, the grace of God the Son, dying in our room instead, interceding for us, and rising on the third day so we would be lifted up with Him forever. We speak of the grace of God the Son. And thirdly, the words of a wise man are gracious. He says that the words in his mouth and of his mouth speak of grace, the grace of God the Spirit, in regenerating us and creating new creatures in Christ and giving us faith. We cannot produce faith. We cannot believe on our own or by ourselves or by our own nature. We cannot produce any of these things that God requires. Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. How can that be? God the Father, by God the Son, and quickened by God's Spirit. Those who have been called by His grace, they speak of grace, not of ourselves. We speak of sovereign grace, reigning grace, ruling grace, through God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, in sanctifying us and causing us to grow in grace, sealing, keeping, and helping us unto the day of our final redemption. It's just amazing. We're not in there. We're included in this covenant. But as far as our abilities and our merits and where we're at as far as helping God contrive or derive or set forth this covenant, we're nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. It's all His work. His work. Well, as I mentioned before, brethren, I say again, we are not wise as this text in Ecclesiastes sets forth. The words of a wise man or woman's mouth are gracious. They speak of grace. But we are not wise in and of ourselves. No books can reveal these things in us. No works, no free will, no religion can create faith and or save us. Only the wisdom of God in the person of Jesus Christ can and does give us this wisdom or salvation. And then we can apply this verse to ourselves. Verse 12, the words of a wise man, the elect, their mouth speaks the things of grace, graciousness. But once the sinner is touched by grace in the heart and soul, words of wisdom and grace come forth. We are born speaking lies, foolishness, falseness. But through the super abounding regenerative work, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, we speak wise words. Well, what's the difference? Of grace. Well, what happened? It's the same thing that happened to those two thieves on the cross. You've got both of them on either side of Christ at one moment agreeing, casting the same unto Christ, casting the same form of hatred and vileness and corruption and cursing and bitterness. And then you've got one of them turns and says, and rebukes the other, wise words of grace. And then he looks at Christ. And I'll guarantee you, any time in this book, in every place where there's a heart cry for mercy, that's because grace has been applied to the heart. Well, what made the difference? Something he did? Something he thought? Something he said? No. The true wisdom of God made the difference. That is, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That man saw only because he was shown. That man saw only because it was revealed. That man had words of a fool, words not of grace, but of filth and corruption, but then words fit of a wise man, because his words and lips spoke of grace. That's not man's free will. You know, if there is any place where man's free will was set uninhibited, it was in the garden. And we fell as quick as we could in Adam and Eve. Another place, the Lord Jesus Christ walked perfectly, honorably, humbly, doing good, doing miracles. And when man had his way with him, what did they do? Oh, they smote him. They spit upon him. Plucked off face from his beard from his face. Cursed him. Hollered at him. Mocked him. Jeered him. That's us by nature. Oh, not wise, but fools. Not words of grace, but of hate and cruelty and corruption. So how can it be? Grace touches the heart and makes the lips and the mouth speak of grace. It's contrary to our nature. It's contrary to our nature. It must be by divine nature, divine revelation. Well, the first point was, as we were to look at this passage in two lights, one, the wise person as those who have been made wise through the grace of God. And before I go to the second point, which is truly speaking of the ultimate fulfillment of this passage, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the wise man, contrast this first point. Only the fool, whether they be a preacher or anybody else in religion or out of religion, only the fool speaks of man's wisdom, man's works, and man's ways. I don't care if it's tradition or any, if it's not, if it doesn't hold according to the testimony of this book, it's because the truth is not in them. That's just all there is to it. And no matter how eloquent, no matter what oratorical ability they may possess, no matter what, how many schools they've been to or seminaries, they are not the words of wise men. They are the words of fools, and their mouth is not full of gracious things or grace, but of works and law and legality. But oh, secondly, we reread this verse. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. And as it is written in Hebrew, the words of a wise man's mouth, grace. Christ, yes, Christ was truly speaking grace and living grace as it may ever be defined. He is the wise man. And we've seen this in Proverbs when we spoke of the wisdom of God in Christ. He is our wisdom. Christ spoke as when he walked on this earth. He spoke and sinners were healed. The words of the wise man's mouth are gracious. Can you imagine? Can you imagine just physically in all the miracles that Christ performed? And I was reading a bunch of them the other night. You just get overwhelmed and overjoyed, and your heart just leaps within you when you're reading in the New Testament. And Christ, he was so exhausted, but he would always find time to help and to heal and to minister grace to those hearers. He would speak. He would say, "Rise up and take your pallet." And that person would rise up and take your pallet and walk on. He would touch someone and they would be healed. He would touch their eyes and they would see. He spoke to sinners who were blind and they saw light. He spoke to sinners who could not walk and they were able to walk. He spoke, and sinners who could not pray, prayed. And this is spiritual to our application, because we heal spiritually. We who were blind are now see. We who could not walk, walk with him now. And we who could not pray, we would not hear our prayers, because they were so tied up with self. Oh, he speaks. He's our mediator. And ever intercedes, ever lives to make intercession for us. He speaks to sinners who once mocked, as we all did. Now, when He speaks to us through His Word, through the preaching of His Gospel, now we are bowed in humble adoration and we worship. That leper came down and said, "Lord, Lord, if You will, You can make me whole." And Christ, look at our text, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. He said, "I will." He said, "I will." Oh, I hope and pray that you and I never get over the words, the gracious words of Christ our wise man. Turn to Leviticus chapter 13. I love this passage. We've been here many times. Leviticus chapter 13. We have a beautiful picture. A beautiful picture of a priest, the high priest, and a leper. That's Christ in us. And in verse 1 of Leviticus chapter 13, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising scab, a bright spot, and it shall be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then shall he be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priest," which, like I said, it's a picture, a beautiful picture of salvation, beautiful picture of Christ as our high priest, and us who are full of leprosy. And verse 3, "The priest shall look on the plague in the skin, in the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in the sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on that sinner," that person, you and I, "and pronounce him unclean." That's what we are by birth. We are lepers, spiritual lepers by birth. It doesn't matter how much talcum powder, how much baby stuff, we're sinners by birth. We're sinners in our representative Adam. And it doesn't take long for us to, once the mouth is opened, to see how deep that stain of sin has gotten into us. So here's the situation. And in verse 4, they look at it, and it's still in the skin, and it's deeper in the skin. And then they set him away, they shut him out for 7 days. And then he comes back, and they look at him, and he's still got the plague. And they shut him out for 7 days, and he comes back, and back and forth, back and forth. Verse 9, "When the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought to the priest. And the priest shall see him, and behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and have turned the hair white, and there be quick raw flesh in the rising, it is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and shall not shut him up, for he is unclean." But now look at verse 12. This just makes no sense. But it makes no sense. The gospel of God's grace makes no sense to us outside looking in. It has to be revealed. "And if a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin, and the plague is from his head to his foot, wheresoever the priest looks." Now I would say that's pretty bad. I'd say that's about as bad as you can get. It's not just arising in the skin. It's not a bump. It's not a scab. It's from the head to the toe. But it's when God, by His free words of wisdom and grace, causes us to see that we are completely leprous. Our problem is that we're partial lepers. We're bad, but we're not as bad as this person. We're okay. We were raised that way. That's our problem. The problem is usually not our sin, as one preacher said. The problem that we have is our righteousness. It's got to all be cast aside. It's got to be done away with. But so this person, he's got leprosy. It's from the top of his head to the bottom of his flesh. Look at verse 13. "Then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy have covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean." He shall pronounce him clean that had the plague. It is all turned white. He's clean. It doesn't make any sense. No. The gospel to natural man does not make sense. But it's when you and I are convicted completely and fully of our state before a thrice holy God, we see Him as a wise man who can kill us or save us, condemn us or redeem us. We see Him as all wise, all sovereign, and us as all vile and capable of doing anything if left to ourselves. And then those words of grace come in. You're clean. You're clean. Pronounce. Did you notice that? Did you notice that in our text? Verse 13. The priest shall pronounce. Back to our text. Pronounce. The words, the pronunciations, the pronouncement of a wise man's mouth, in this case the Lord Jesus Christ, are gracious. Are full. What did they say about Christ? Full of grace and truth. He has but to speak such wonderful words of graciousness to your heart and to my heart, and we are clean, we are pardoned, we are redeemed. And we can sing like that song written so many years ago, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. How can a vile rebel like me, the one standing before you tonight, this preacher, so-called preacher, so-called husband, so-called, how can I, a vile rebel like me, say such a thing as this? Because He has spoken. This supreme wise man spoke to my heart one day and said, grace. Grace. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. He hath lived for me. That's grace. He hath died for my sins. That's grace. He hath risen from the dead and led captivity captive. That's grace. And now, right now, this very moment, seated at the right hand of God for me, interceding on my behalf, that is grace. Not a lick of works involved, but His works. He's interceding for us. I close with this, and I ask, have you heard this wise man's words? Let's reread the text and close. The words of a wise man's mouth. Grace. Grace. May He be glorified and honored in all things.